Let's sing one of Woody's old songs.
And the geeks and the company pigs and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. And when the news was called, she went to the union hall. And when the legion boys came round, she always stood her ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again. It's Progressive News Network. I'm your host, Rick Spezak. And I've got our good friends, our brothers and sisters from SEIU, Rebecca Wakefield and Ron Bilbao from SEIU Local 1991. Welcome, friends.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing this week?
Sunny and mild, my dear. Sunny and mild. So what's new
Excellent.
With the madness up in Two Tall Tales, Tallahassee?
I'm so glad you asked. There's always something. You know, Ron's going to talk a little bit about some of the bills that were passing through the legislature this week, but I just wanted to start out and talk a little bit about health care. You may remember a couple of weeks ago we had a press conference in Tallahassee to publicize the story of Charlene Dill. She was a 32-year-old mother who died recently because we hadn't expanded Medicaid in Florida, and she fell right into that coverage gap. So this was like a really tragic story that we put out there just to put a face on what's happening in Florida. And what's been happening the last week or so is the story has been slowly building momentum in the media, including it was featured on Al Sharpton's show on MSNBC. So it's really, you know, as tragic as the story is, we're happy to see it getting out there and letting people know what the consequences of the legislature's inaction are on real people. And then actually, this weekend, there'll be some more stories coming out about other people who fall in the coverage gap in Florida. You know, we took a look at some data from Enroll America and came up with a map of where all the uninsured people are in each Florida House district. So as legislators are taking their Easter break and they're taking the week off, activists will be visiting some of those people who are voters in their district and who are not covered by healthcare because of that inaction. And we're going to be knocking on their doors and letting them know exactly, you know, what they're missing out on and why. So this weekend in particular, we're going to be visiting voters in Miami and Palm Beach and Pinellas counties in particular districts. And, you know, we hope to get people aware of, you know, just what's happening here. And then, meanwhile, the AP just ran a story about the Medicaid rolls have gone up about 8% in Florida because as so many people were trying to get Obamacare, they realized that they qualified for Medicaid, including about 50,000 children. So that means, which is great because now those people will be covered, but because Florida didn't expand Medicaid, the federal government is not going to cover 100% of the cost for the first 3 years. They'll only pay about 60% of Florida's bill, and the state will be paying the other 40%. So, again, we're paying once again for health care coverage that we're entitled to and that should have been paid for. So that's just my little soapbox for the week. Ron, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. I don't know if you want to talk about the minimum wage fight and some of the other issues that came up in Tallahassee this week.
Sure. I heard you mention a little bit about the press that we got around our minimum wage challenge. 10 legislators were fighting for 10-10. This past week, they pledged for 5 days to live on the state minimum wage. And after taxes and utilities and rent, actually comes out to about $40 for the week in food and $50 for gas. So these legislators ended up going grocery shopping with us on Wednesday morning and showing the press what it was like to actually have to eat on $40 for a week. It was a way for the legislators to get some attention around the stalled bills in the session that the Republican leadership refuses to take up. As of now, those bills haven't been heard, but we're hoping to get some momentum around it. Another thing that happened this week was a resurrection of what was thought to be a dead pension. They call it pension reform, but it's really just messing with our pensions for public employees. The Florida retirement system, they claim, is sucking money out of the budget, but it's one of the most stable retirement systems of any state in the whole country. Republican leadership seems to want to move everybody, new employees, from a defined benefit plan, a pension plan, to a defined contribution plan like a 401k. And so those new employees would actually have 9 months to choose which plan they'd want to go into, the pension plan or the 401k plan. But obviously, you know, in 9 months, new employees may not have any idea what's going on, no idea what choices they have to make. So the legislature put in that if they haven't chosen after 9 months, they're defaulted into the defined contribution plan, 401k. One of the funny arguments that you hear them kind of make is, well, that's what unions are for, that we're supposed to be educating our membership on the two different plans and they should be able to choose, except that they know that they're the ones who made this a right-to-work state, made it more difficult for unions to communicate and recruit members. And so if you're not part of a union, if you don't have a work site that has a union, then, you know, you're basically left out in the cold, and you're going to be put into that 401k plan that is very volatile and not as secure as the pension plan. So we're fighting hard for that, to stop. The House seems to be pushing forward with it, and the Senate will continue moving it in the weeks to come.
Right, Ron. I wonder if you would talk just a little bit about another attempt by some members of the House to attack labor unions, ours in particular, by revamping who gets to deal with the unions at Miami's Jackson Hospital. What is that all about?
Sure. This was something that was completely brought up overnight, literally overnight. An amendment filed, a late-filed amendment by Representative Wood, was filed at around 11 o'clock on Wednesday evening, and we woke up to it on Thursday, onto a huge trauma center's revamp bill, which has been in the news lately and has been getting some pushback from folks in the Senate. But in the House, they decided to start using it as a vehicle for all healthcare pieces that weren't moving in the House. So the expansion of scope bill that we talked about a few weeks back on this show, for ARMPs to be able to practice their full scope, that bill, because it was stalled, was amended onto this bill as well. So 7 different amendments got put onto this traveling monster at the last minute. One of those was an amendment that took away the power of the county commission in Miami-Dade to execute and finalize contracts with the labor unions at Jackson Hospital specifically. It's targeted at the Public Health Trust and gives them all final say in any of our contract negotiations. Most of the members of the committee who weren't from Dade County didn't understand at all what the effect of this would be, but it would basically gut the power of the local governing board, that being the county commission in this particular case, to negotiate with our public sector employees, which is really the whole point. They're elected officials, and they should have the final say in our contracts with public employees, not an appointed board that's, you know, obviously incredibly political, but also that has no accountability with the people of the county. The Democrats were very vocal in opposition to it, even though there was no Miami-Dade Democrats on the committee. They didn't see the need for it. They voted in opposition, and that amendment got put on along party lines. So we'll see where it goes in the Senate. We're obviously looking out to see if it's going to get put onto the Senate version of that trauma centers bill. In the Senate, the trauma bill is going to the floor already without any of those amendments. And as you know, in order to get anything put into law, you have to have it on both sides, the House and the Senate. So while it's in the House version, it hasn't been put onto the Senate version, but obviously we're going to be very vigilant and making sure that we contact all senators to know that this is something that they need to look out for.
Great. You know, something I saw in the news that I thought was interesting is when they were having a debate up there about abortion, they sent all the pages out of the room, which was very interesting. And then, you know, apparently they can hear about guns and violence and all of that, but when it comes to reproductive issues, they're very conservative about that, which is kind of interesting.
Sure. It's reminiscent of 2 years ago with Representative Scott Randolph got sanctioned by the Speaker of the House for saying that his corporations get more rights than women do, so maybe he should incorporate his wife's uterus and then she would have more rights. And he got censured by the Speaker of the House for using the word uterus, and the Speaker said he couldn't use that language in front of the House pages.
Pretty amazing. So is there, what should we be keeping an ear out for going on in the next couple of weeks? I guess next week they're on Easter break, correct?
Next week they're taking a break, which is good and bad. Obviously they aren't taking up any of the minimum wage bills. There's no job creation bills, and they're not certainly giving public employees any raises or fully funding education the way that they should be, but what we also have to look out for in the last 2 weeks is that committees have stopped meeting. So the Senate President and the House Speaker say that once the committees have stopped meeting, if your bill is still in a committee, it's dead. We hope that that's true. The wage theft preemption legislation did not finish its committees in the House. It was killed in its last committee, and we're happy about that. It was a very bad bill that would leave workers in the cold in term, if they were ever robbed of their wages. But we'll see. We have to look out to see if it doesn't get pulled or the Speaker could renege on his promise. Obviously, the pensions are still out in the air, and we have to see what they're going to end up doing with that, specifically in the Senate. We know that the House is gung-ho on that, but hopefully we'll be able to stop it on the Senate side. And then we're going to keep an eye out real closely on this terrible public health trust amendment that could wipe out the power of the County Commission to bargain with Jackson unions.
Great. Thank you so much, Ron, for giving us that update. I think we're all finished, Rick. Thank you once again for having us on. And we look forward to talking to you.
I was just going to say, I have to thank Ron for using the U word, which, as we know, is banned from the Florida legislature.
You got to be careful.
But
where
not
you
from
use
progressive radio. It's
that's
fine on
right.
Progressive radio.
Thank you both so much.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. You too. Bye.
And here we go. There's a better world a coming.
There's a better world a coming. Tell you why. There's a better world a coming. Tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world that's a-coming, I'll tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see. When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see. There's a better world a-coming, and don't you know, no. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you know. I'm a union man in a union war. It's a union world I'm fighting for. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you know. There's a better world that's a-coming. There's a better world that's a-coming. there's a better world to come, and I'll tell you why. And don't you see, and don't you know. There's a better world that's coming, tell you why. Better world that's coming, tell you why. Out of marching, out of battling, you can hear the chains are rattling. There's a better world that's coming, I'll tell you why. Now there's a better world that's coming, and there's a better world that's coming, and there's a better world that's coming, I'll tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, I'll tell you why. Better world that's a-coming, I'll tell you why. We'll beat them on the land, in the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world that's a-coming, I'll tell you why. Well, there's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see. Better world that's a-coming, don't you see. When we'll all be union, and we'll all be free. There's a better world a-coming, don't you see. There's a better world that's coming, don't you see. Better world that's coming, don't you see. When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world that's coming, don't you see.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm glad you could tune in for the Tallahassee Report. And tune in Sunday for the whole show. When Progressive News Network presents, it's a beautiful spring day here in Florida. Thanks again. See you Sunday. Bye-bye.